Welcome back to the radio station. We have a special guest in today. His name is Daniel. He is a lawyer, and let's just get ready to interview him.
Why did you become a lawyer?
So, first and foremost, thank you for having me. I do believe that this is my second or third time back, and I'm always excited to come back and speak with you guys here at Yates. As you guys know, I went to Schenectady City Schools as well, so it's always a privilege and honor for me to come back and speak with you guys. So this is definitely a highlight of my day to be able to have conversations with you. So the question is why did I become a lawyer? One of the main reasons that I became a lawyer is that it is my human nature to help other people. And in my job, I get the benefit of being able to help people every day. And I love helping people. Even before I was a lawyer, every job that I worked at was what we call in the human services field. So I love working with other people. And what other way but to do it but for being a lawyer?
What got you interested to be a lawyer?
So I like to think that one of the things that piqued my interest is when I was growing up, on a personal level, I went through the court process, and I had to deal with a lot of lawyers, the law, the legal system, and I think that that was the initial thing that opened up my idea to being a lawyer.
When you became a lawyer, was it stressful or was it kind of fun for you?
So, as a lawyer, I go to work every day, but I enjoy my job every day. So, does it get stressful at times? It does, but then you have to know when to take a time out. And when you take a time out, you kind of reset. It's almost as hitting the reset button, so you're not stressing yourself out, so you could do the best job possible.
Can you explain a little more about the human, the program that you were working in before you became a lawyer?
Yes. So human services field is when you're in professions where you're working with people every day or on a daily basis. It could be if you're helping a person who try to get a house, or if you're helping a person who's dealing with addiction problems, or if you're helping a person with trying to get resources so they can provide for their family, helping a person deal with writing resumes, or in my particular situation, I worked with kids that were what we call at-risk youth who were placed in alternative schools. So that was at Northeast Parent Child Society. So I worked in a school setting as a teacher assistant. So I was able to work with kids who were going through whatever difficulties of their own, and I was able to assist them and help them with whatever problems that they were going on, or at least had going on at that point in time. Another job that I did was I worked at what we call an inpatient rehab facility. So if you have a person who has a substance abuse problem, they could be addicted to drugs or they could be addicted to alcohol, whatever it may be, I had the benefit of working with them and helping them cope with whatever problems they were dealing with.
That's a good
explanation, right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
How do you know how to become a lawyer? How do you know how to become a lawyer?
So that's a very interesting thing. When I decided that I wanted to be a lawyer, I had to do a little bit of research as to exactly what I needed to do to become a lawyer. So I started reaching out to the support that was around me. I started reaching out to coaches. I started reaching out to, because I play basketball, so I started reaching out to coaches. I started reaching out to other professors, teachers, that was or counselors, and I started researching, Googling how to become a lawyer, and then I started studying. I started to realize that you needed to take what we call the law school admission test, and then you have to score a certain amount of points on that. Then you have to apply to law school. You have to build your resume for it. So there was a couple of things that I had to do, and it ended up working out to my benefit.
When you were learning to be a lawyer, was it like boring to like to listen to a teacher as like you learn?
Well, it was something that I was focused on. So it was something that I wanted to, do. So it was something that I was passionate about. So every time that a lawyer, or any time that one of the teachers were speaking, I knew that I needed to pay attention in order to achieve what it was that I wanted to achieve.
Like to pass the test, thank you.
There are times where the law is boring. A lot of times the law could be boring. But I needed to psych myself up kind of for it.
When you knew how to become a lawyer, did you, like, think it was, like, so fun? Or, like, were you kind of serious about it? Or, like, were you scared, nervous? What was your, like, reaction to knowing?
So, it was very... My job is fun. I get to hang out with you guys,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I'm a lawyer. So, imagine if I wasn't a lawyer. I wouldn't have been able to hang out with you guys like mm-hmm. that, right? Maybe, maybe not. But, my job is fun. I enjoy what I do. I get to go to work every day and be excited about what I'm doing. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not bad days at my job. I'm dealing with very serious issues. I deal with people who have very serious problems. A lot of times I may deal with people who they have their kids that are taken away from them, and kids may be in foster care. Or I deal with people who mom may be in jail or dealing with serious things and she's away from her children. So the problems that I'm hearing from my clients are very serious problems. So at times it could take a toll on you, right? And those are the timeouts that we need, where we need to take a timeout so we don't stress ourselves out, so I can do the best job possible.
When you took the law test, for you to become a lawyer, do you think that it was like pressure on you, or do you think that you could like do it really like goodly without getting stuck on a
That's a very good question. From my experience with the law school admission test, I do not believe, and I may be different than other lawyers when it comes to this, but I do not believe that the law school admission test it doesn't prepare you for what law school really is. The law school admission test is very analytical thinking. It's a different kind of learning. It's a different kind of studying. And I don't think it necessarily prepares you for what law school really is like. So I don't necessarily agree with the law school admission test. But if there is a way, I don't have any other suggestions for what test would be more appropriate in order to get into law school. I see why they use the law school admission test, but I don't think that it's indicative of what law school really is.
Mm-hmm. So, about a law school, first of all, is a law school like a place where you have to like take a lot of work, or like do you have to like work on like anything, or like do research, or like
you do? So law school is broken up into 3 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in your first year of law school is a very tough. It's a lot of courses. It's a lot of learning. It's learning a different way, and it is. It's a different way of learning. So law school is extremely tough, but you pick up on it. You kind of have no life. You kind of don't hang out with your family members as often. But it's a sacrifice that you have to take in order to really succeed.
What do you love about your job?
I would say that the number one thing that I love about my job is that I get to hang out with people like you and I, right? And I get to help people. One of the best satisfactions that I get is I get to help people deal with some serious problems that they may have going on. And another thing that I really like about my job is that I get to give back to the community. So one of the things that my law practice, my office did, during this Thanksgiving time, since we're just fresh off of Thanksgiving, was that I was able to partner up with a local business and a local grocery store, and we were able to donate money and donate food to some families and help them. So part of my whole opportunity of practicing law back here in Schenectady is that I want to give back. I want to have conversations like this that I'm having with you guys this afternoon, because that's more important than actually really practicing law.
So I just realized every time I ask you a question, you give like more details. That looks like when you be like where he works. What they call that thing?
The courtroom.
Yeah. Like you give a lot of details.
Yeah. So that's my job, right? So in law school, that's one of the tactics they learn. We call it, you got to listen to the call of the question. So whenever you ask a question, I'm listening attentively because I want to make sure I'm actually answering the question it is that you're asking me. I don't want you to ask me a question about a particular question and then I start talking about sunny summer days or something, right? Then that's not really going to answer the question that you're asking, right? So I pay attention. I try to pay attention.
When you think important of talking to us is really important, are you trying to say that you don't really care about your job, but you care about like talking to us is like more important?
I think that I definitely care about my job, but I also think that both you and I, we have a lot to relate with, right? Mm-hmm. One being that you go to school in Schenectady. Right, and I went to school in Schenectady, so that means that you live in the city of Schenectady. Each of you, we each
it's
live
like
in the city.
A member.
It is right. So, and there's, if you think about it, there's certain things in the city of Schenectady that we deal with that you may not have to deal with in other areas, right? So, when I say that we relate on certain ways, I mean that in aspects of the same school, the same places of where we've grown up, because the same streets that you are walking are the same streets that I've walked already before. So I actually think that it's pretty cool for you guys and ladies to see a person like me that's dressed all fancy like this, who was just like you guys a couple years ago, right? And when I say a couple years ago, I mean a long time ago. But I still do mean, I remember my third grade teacher, and I remember my fifth grade teacher, so... That's why it's so important, because I need you guys to believe, Mr. Rakes, as well as your parents, they want you to believe that you could be anything, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's a doctor or whether it's a lawyer, you can be anything.
If you can't, and you're like, I can't do this, I'm like too stupid to do this thing, okay. You're just giving your like dream away.
Absolutely. How many lawyers do you know?
I don't know. I haven't met a lawyer yet.
See, so
I've met two. One, you, and I've met and I've talked to a lawyer before when I lived in the city.
Okay. So when you think about it, right, it's important for you, if you're not seeing lawyers on a regular basis, then how likely are you going to become a lawyer? You may become a teacher, right? Because you see teachers, right? But that's why is it fair to you that because you live in Schenectady that you don't see lawyers, mm-hmm. right? Or that you don't know lawyers. So it's very important for you to see lawyers, because who knows? I just spoke with your class, right? And there was, you guys told me, 25 people, right? Yep. In your class. Maybe not all 25 was here today, but there's 25 people in the class. Now, it's important for those 25 kids to see that, wow, there's a lawyer. I could be a lawyer too. And then who knows, maybe that sparks someone's interest to be a lawyer, right?
Okay, so as a lawyer, are you able to do a lot of things? Or like, are you able to just like, have to focus on one thing, or are you able to do like two or three or multiple things?
So as a lawyer, you can have a lot of different cases, right? But I practice criminal law and family law every day. So it's very important for me to focus on one particular area so I can try to master that particular area, right?
You always want to master.
semester stuff.
You do. That way, if you come to me with a problem, and I can say, you say, Mr. Smalls, do you do this? And I say, yep, I do it, and I do a good job at it. So that way, I can give you the best representation as possible.
All right, so let's say you're handling a case, right, and you're super busy with it, and then someone walks in your door and says, I want to hire you, but you're already, can you juggle more than one case at a time?
So it really depends. And that answer you'll hear from lawyers a lot. It depends on what it is that you have going on. If it's a particular case that I can deal with it in the evening, and it's more of a civil issue that I don't have to necessarily go into court for, then I may say yes. But if it's a case that's going to require me to physically be present when I cannot physically be present and my staff can't physically be present, then we may have to give you, we may have to refer you to another attorney.
Do you, like, have to hurt people?
No. I never have to hurt people. Now, with that being said, there may be times where I tell people certain things that they don't want to hear. So if you go out and you allegedly commit a crime, and I can tell you that if the district attorney's office says that, hey, the offer is a year in jail or 2 years in jail, and I have to talk to you about that, you may become hurt because of what I'm saying to you, but I don't intentionally go
you're
out
not meaning to hurt people's feelings. You're actually telling them the rules and, like, what they need to be doing in order, you know, not be in jail and stuff.
Correct.
It's not that you're trying to hurt their feelings. It's that you're helping them.
Correct.
What don't you like about your job?
The one thing that I don't like about my job is it kind of takes away a lot of time away from my family. So I wish that I was able to spend a little bit more time with my family. But with that being said, we get to do all types of cool and awesome things. I take a lot of vacations with my family in the summertime. My wife, she used to work in Schenectady schools. Now she stays home. She stays home with her children. So we provide a nice little life for them.
I could understand, like, you don't really like spending a lot of time away from your family, but one, getting, like, it's a good thing to stay away from your family because you have to, like, get money to do good things for them, and I feel like without staying away from your family for your job, then you won't be making the money that you need to get the really good things for them.
That's a very good point. So I can tell you right now, the lifestyle that I live with my family and the vacations that my family and I, that we take, I would not be able to do that if I didn't work the profession that I work right now. So that's a good point. But you do have to have a good balance, though. Because family is most important for over everything. To me, I'm a person who I'm a person of faith, so I have my own religious beliefs, and that's the most important thing to me. And then after that becomes family. So then you have your family, and then your job comes second. So you don't want anything to do. You don't want to really jeopardize anything to jeopardize your family. Do anything that's going to put your family in harm's way. So you got to balance it. But you're 100% correct.
So, I kind of feel the same way about you. Like, I don't get to be around my dad a lot. He, like, always has to go to work. And, like, every time he goes to work, it's just, like, I barely get to be with him and stuff. And I feel the same thing with you. You don't get to see your family, and I don't get to see my dad a lot.
So, you remember when we just said that I could relate to you on a lot of stuff? That may be a way that we could relate, right? So, you understand. And I'm imagining from what you're saying, because you're saying it makes you sad, that your father is doing the right thing for you, though, it sounds like, right?
Yeah, he's doing the right thing for us. It's just that it's kind of not that safe to be driving in snowstorms and stuff and in the heavy snow because he has to drive a big truck, too.
Yeah.
A truck driver.
I understand.
Like, if you, like, get away from your family is not like away, but do you like ever can take a day off and spend like your family with your family?
So my My son asks me, my 5-year-old, he asks me that all the time. We have a 5-year-old as well, and he says to me all the time, "Dad, how come you never have stay-at-home days with us?" And I'm like, "Well, buddy, because it's the job that I have." So at times it does make me feel a little bit bad, but get this, though. I coach each of their sports. The weekends is all theirs. I hear them out. If they want to order food on Friday nights when I come home, we're ordering food. I kind of like to sucker for it. Like, I'm the younger dad. That's kind of like the cool dad. So I kind of let them do what they want to do within reason. They're still respectful kids. They're still good kids. But I'm also the dad that's kind of like the cool dad, laughing, joking around, and doing stuff like that. I am.
Okay, so on Fridays, do you have the day off or do you have to work all day as the same thing as you work on other days?
I try not to work all day on Fridays, but there are times that I do work a lot on Fridays. I don't have Fridays off. When I opened up my own law practice, I told my wife that, okay, I'm only going to work Monday through Thursday, and I'm going to have Friday, Saturday, and Sundays off.
Do your kids, like, cry for you to come home because they miss you a lot?
Not really, but because we have FaceTime. You know what FaceTime is?
Yeah, like you're facing each other.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll call them on my phone, right? Yeah. And I can see them. Or guess what? You know one thing that they do a lot? They'll come down to my office. We just had a holiday parade downtown. Mm-hmm. You remember? Did anybody go to the Schenectady parade downtown?
The holiday, the Christmas parade.
Correct. Yeah.
With the only one cookie thing float.
So it looks like you went there. Do you know where I watched the parade at?
What?
Right from my office.
Nice and warm.
We ordered a bunch of food and everybody.
You were in the city with it?
I was there, but I was in the giant building with the balcony with the lights turning on and off.
Oh, you were right in front of it? Or you were inside of it?
I was inside of it. The thing is, there's only, like, one float, and that's it. Like, you people got to get enough money.
Not enough.
Get people to clap and stuff. People just be like, that's all.
What is it like at jail, like the food?
So I don't eat much of the food. I can tell you what a lot of my clients tell me, that the food is not good, but they get to order what we call commissary. Commissary means that it's almost like grocery shopping, but from inside of a jail. They have a list of food. So it would be like on this paper, and it would be a list of food that they can order, and they can kind of keep in their little area that they occupy. Jails are, it's not fun. You're on a schedule. It's a lot of structure. So you have to ask correction officers for permission to do certain things, but you can't just move about how you want to move about. And it's not meant to be fun. It's designed to be a deterrent, we call
like
a deterrent.
Detention.
It is. It's designed to be like a detention. So no one wants to go to detention, right?
I
but there's times,
I've
hey, listen, I even went to detention before, right?
Jail?
No, in school. In school detention. Like if the teacher maybe I was just excited that day and I didn't raise my hand and maybe I kept on talking.
I was about to say, when you said detention, I'm like, what?
No, not that. But okay. So there's times where, you know, you don't want to go to detention. Same exact thing, you don't want to go to jail.
I never want to be in detention.
Can your parents come see you or give you games to play, like, with your buddy, like, at the same room?
You can have, like, cards that come in, or you can have, there's certain games that they allow to come inside of a jail. But there's a lot of things you can't have. You can't have, like, metal. You can't have, like, chewing gum and stuff like that. They're very strict on. But your family can come and see you, but it's only at set times, and it's usually, like, an hour to 2 hours per week.
Sounds awful.
It does, right? So you know what? That's the reason why you and I, we're not committing crimes, right?
Can you tell us about a bailiff, though?
Bailiff, yeah. So in New York, we call them court officers. And court officers, they help make sure that the flow of the court process is going good. And they also help protect everybody. So they make sure that the judge is good. They make sure that the support staff are good. They make sure that the calendar is continuously going forward. And they're cool. They're pretty cool.
So they make sure that the person, like, that committed the crime doesn't do something offhand and that could hurt people?
Correct. So they'll make sure that if you have a person who is in jail, or not even in jail, doesn't try to attack a judge, doesn't try to do certain things or cause harm to somebody.
So basically what you're saying is a bailiff is a type of officer?
Correct. It's like we call them in New York, there's, depending on what county you live in, they're called certain things. Here, we don't really call them bailiffs, but we call them court officers.
What if the officers aren't from, like, this state? Like they're from another country in another, like, language. Like, she's from Yemen, I'm from Puerto Rico. Like, what if they're from different states? Do they have to, like, speak to different people?
They may. Isn't that the beautiful thing about Schenectady? So you're from Yemen?
Mm-hmm.
And you're from Puerto Rico?
Yes.
Where are you from?
My family is Puerto Rican and Irish, so I'm kind of from Ireland and Puerto Rico.
How about you?
I'm from the United States.
United States? See,
what about, did you ever ask about before that? Like your ancestors, your family who's not alive anymore, where in the world they came from?
My grandma.
Yeah.
We're a whole Idaho family.
Yeah, you are from Idaho, right?
My whole family's from Idaho.
Here's your homework assignment.
Mm-hmm.
Find out before Idaho where they were from.
Oh, luckily I don't have homework today.
It's probably a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the phenomenal thing about Schenectady.
I don't know.
No.
Yeah, he didn't tell me before he died.
Maybe.
I have good news for you. As you get a little bit older, you can find out on the internet all of your ancestry. And they'll show you exactly where your family's from.
Oh, really?
And they can show you pictures. Mm-hmm. And if you even want to, you can do a test of your DNA.
Oh.
And they can find out exactly where in the world, sometimes down to, like, the city where your family was from across the whole world thousands of years ago.
Oh.
Crazy, I know.
Yeah, you could do an ancestry.
That's a good question. I don't know how old you have to be to do it. You want to talk to your mom.
One of my good friends from law school, she was from Idaho, or she's from Idaho. Right? Yeah, she's from Idaho.
Who?
Her name's Alexis.
Ooh, like Alexa, and then your phone.
Yeah.
Oh, one of my friends
is Idaho
question?
Potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Do you have a question?
Yes. what country is your family from?
So, my family, I was born in the United States of America, but part of me, so I am African American, and I have Indian in me, and my father, believe it or not, my father is African American, and he's white. So, my mother is Indian and African American.
These are all the cool things you can find out now. The things that you never knew before. People are like, oh my goodness, I had no idea my family was from here.
Yeah.
Right, well, I think Daniel's point was, I'll tell you a quick story. I had a girl in class years ago, and she was in the same radio club when we were at Lincoln School. And she moved out to Lansingburg, which is kind of by Troy. And I've been in touch with her, and I asked her about when she moved out of Schenectady. And she said, you know what really hit me? She goes, I was sad about it for the longest time. She goes, the school that I went to, everybody looked the exact same. She had grown up in Schenectady and was so used to just, there's kids from Yemen and there's kids from, like, it's all mixed up. And then she thought that's the way every place was, and it's not. This is a very special city that we have so many different backgrounds that all come together.
Schenectady is phenomenal when it comes to the diversity. For us, for you to have classmates that are from Yemen and from Puerto Rico.
Most kids don't have that. My kids, when they go to school, they don't necessarily have that.
My kids I live in Niskayuna, and my kids, when they go to class, there's often times where my kids are the only kids that are kids of color that are in their class. So the diversity's not as much as it is here in the city of Schenectady. So my kids love when we come into Schenectady, when they go into Schenectady, because they see people that look like them, and they get the diversity a little bit more, right? And it's not to say that Niskayuna is bad, because there's phenomenal things about Niskayuna, but they do love the diversity of Schenectady. And I will say that I will never, if I could change anything, I would never ever change the fact that I grew up in Schenectady or cities like Albany, because I love the diversity of it. Because this shows you what the universe is really like. It really shows you how it's really supposed to be, right?
What schools have you gone to?
So I went to Lincoln Elementary, You guys are really testing my knowledge on this one.
Oh, I love Lincoln.
Do you?
Lincoln Lions.
The Lincoln Lions. How'd you know that?
I used to go to Lincoln.
In what grade?
From kindergarten to...
Oh, that's right.
From to first until Lincoln? February, then I went here.
Yeah, we were at Lincoln together. Lincoln. Like, when you were in kindergarten, we were totally at Lincoln together.
I think I used to go to Lincoln, but then I had to go to this school because I had to learn English and they didn't want English.
So you didn't know English before?
No.
And you just started learning English?
Well, I mean, when I was in kindergarten, I didn't really know that much English. All I knew how to say was, like, hello in English.
Really?
Yeah, so picture this. So I was just hearing this from Amna, like, 2 weeks ago. She's in kindergarten. She doesn't speak any English.
You?
Mm-hmm.
And she just, in this room, where everyone's speaking a different language, she's 4 or 5 years old, can't even communicate with anybody or the teacher, and look where she is now. I said to her, I've never had to be that brave ever in my life. I can't even imagine.
That's
And that's what you're saying.
Yeah, because there was a girl that helped me with English, because she was also Spanish, but she also knew English,
Yeah,
too.
You girls have had to be more brave than I've ever had to been in my 42 years.
And do you remember it?
Yeah, I remember everything, but me and Amna are like sisters now.
Yeah.
It's like we are pretend like sisters, because, like, we want to, like, she, like, we know, like, we are, like, together, like, we don't want to be together.
We like to peace in the pod.
Nice. I think it's pretty cool that you guys didn't know any English.
But then we were so brave to, like, actually talk.
Yeah.
And then, well, I wouldn't have ever known that at all.
Right, you'd have no idea.
Wow.
Because you communicate so well now. I mean, you communicate so well, your teacher invited you to a speaking interview podcast radio station. Like, that's how well you speak.
I didn't even want to talk. I was kind of scared at first.
I can imagine.
I mean, I wanted to say hi to a kid, but like, I was just like, no, thank you. I am good. I do not want them
to
talk.
I'd probably be sitting in the corner all quiet all day or running out of the school
for
my
mom. Yeah,
because
then they'd be talking to me, and I'm like, what? Like, eh?
Right. Well, so I went to Lincoln, then Central Park, Schenectady High School. And then I went into college. I went to play basketball at St. Rose. And then I went to Western New England School of Law. And now I'm here. School is done.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go put it in the lost and found.
What kinds of parties did you have as a kid?
What kind of parties?
Parties, yeah, as a kid.
So I would have your typical birthday parties. Mm-hmm. I had a graduation party from graduating from high school. Mm-hmm. I had a graduation party for graduating from college. I had a graduation party from graduating from law school. Those are big milestones, right? So those are things that you want to celebrate. Us as families, you want to celebrate those milestones because it's hard work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you should be rewarded for your hard work. So my son graduated from fifth grade last year. You know what I did? I threw him a big party. And a lot of people thought I was crazy. But I said, you know what? I'm going to make it bigger than what it needs to be. Because then in eighth grade, we'll throw you another big party.
And I'm going to... 12th grade?
Exactly.
Big time.
College.
Exactly. In college. See, luckily for me, remember, I don't have any girls, so I don't have to throw sweet 16 parties or anything. Right?
So... I used to have birthday parties, but, like, now I don't have birthday parties. Now my mom and me are thinking of, like, going to places for my birthday party, but we're also going to do it to where, like, it doesn't really cost money because sometimes my cousins can't afford to go to, like, on an airplane or, like, to a movie theater. So, like, I was thinking, like, of everybody that I'm inviting to my birthday party. They're going to come to my house and we're all, and my mom is going to pay for everybody that's going to come to go, like, roller skating or ice skating or something, which I'm kind of scared because I've never been without a birthday party. I mean, when I was a baby, I loved birthday parties, but, like, I'm getting older.
You know, Araceli, we're doing the same exact thing with Claire, who's also in third grade, kind of going away from a big party and now just take, like, her two or three best friends and go do something. Maybe do a sleepover.
Ooh.
Right? With just your besties.
That's what we did.
Yeah, we had a spa day.
Spa day, right?
Yeah, like a spa day. Because me and Chanel made my
spa day, yeah. Yes, I love games of tickling.
Yeah. Put the cream all over your face, cucumber.
Yeah, no. Oh, no, we didn't do that.
We just did our feet.
Yeah, our feet, it was wow. just so, like, tickly and so wrinkly.
Sounds like fun.
When you had, like, birthday parties, were they, like, specific themes, or was it just, like you didn't really care if it had a theme?
A monkey birthday party.
You know, I don't remember a lot of my birthday parties growing up to the specifics of whether or not they were themed. I just remember, so I'm from a family of one of eight. So siblings, there's eight of us, right? There's four girls and four boys. So I just remember it always being a madhouse, but birthday parties, you didn't need to invite friends over because you had enough brothers and sisters to always have the party, right? I just remember it always being a blast. And
how
always
many
having
kids
fun.
Did you say you had?
We have four boys.
Oh, that's like just having everybody already at your house. I mean, you got your brothers, you got your mom, you got your dad.
Absolutely.
You got your dog, probably. And, like, you don't need to invite anybody except for your grandma, your papa.
Like your family.
Exactly.
Yeah, like your papa.
Exactly.
That's how you say in Spanish, papa.
That's how you say in Spanish? Mm-hmm.
Nice. Papa. What kind of a kid were you picky?
Like, were you kind of, what kind of a kid were you? Give us, like, were you a picky kid? They want to know, like, what?
So I was always, the interesting thing about me, when I was in elementary school, I used to get perfect attendance records or rewards all the time. Awards. I would always, one of the awards I remember, I think I got it in fourth and fifth grade. I never missed school. I would always just go to school, and I always, I was very meticulous. I was very detailed when it came to things like that. I am a very organized person. If you go inside my house, you wouldn't even know that I have four boys. My house, and they make sure, I make sure. Now, remind you, we already established I'm the big fun dad, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they also understand that they have chores that they have to do, mm-hmm. right? Meaning, not big chores. They don't have to do these extravagant mm-hmm. things. But something as simple as, hey, your dirty clothes got to go in a laundry basket. Or you got to make your bed. And that's probably the extent of it. Or you got to put... Not too hard. It's nothing to punish
Not too hard. Like, don't, like, make it to where they're like, oh, I feel like you're punishing me, Dad. What's
exactly.
wrong with
yeah.
this?
Well, my 12-year-old will ask him to put his dishes in a dishwasher. And you would think that he thinks he's being punished. But you just ate it. Right, so you should put it into the dishwasher.
Yeah, that's not like too
yeah, like
it's
you gotta
hard.
Clean up by yourself,
like
but like
no, but he'll dance while he's doing it, like how you're dancing, talking. Yeah, he'll dance while he's doing it,
put
so he's not mad
on.
Or upset.
Oh yeah, put your headphones on, just wash your dishes. Oh, I washed on five.
Give us your little wash again. I want to see that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but you do this. There's this little thing that you buy in the store, and it's like a scrubbing thing, but it has it on both sides. And you just, like, wet it, and it looks like you're just wetting your hands, and then you just go, like, and it's clean.
Yeah, yeah. So I was very, I wasn't a picky person, but I was always very goal-oriented and very organized.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Organized. That's your turn.
Ready?
That's your turn.
Mm-hmm.
What are your favorite? What are your favorite? What are your favorite? Ice creams.
So I love cookies and cream and chocolate chip cookie dough.
I like
your
chocolate
dough. Oh, chocolate chip cookie dough. Too much cookie dough.
Too much? I love it. I really
I like
do.
What are your favorite animals?
I would say dogs. If my own dogs. I'm not a big animal person. If I go in, I have a Rottweiler. So if I go in someone else's house and they have a Rottweiler, I'm very scared of their Rottweiler.
Yes, because they're very big dogs and you don't know if they're good or not.
That's exactly my point. But I know that my Rottweiler, he is, once you smell him, I am.
Yeah, because my cousin went to go pet a random dog
because the person said, you could pet her as long as she's feeling like it. And when he went to go pet that pit bull, oh my god, it snapped at him, ripped his whole face off. He had to, like, they had to put his face, the skin on his face back on, and it, like, ripped it. Like, yeah. To where it's solid.
You know, well, you know what it is? You know what it is, too, is that dogs can be as a companion and for fun and for a member of your family.
Man's best friend.
But right, man's best friend. Man, but they can all they can also be protecting. If you're nervous that people are coming after you, or that people want what you have, the other reason people have a dog is for protection. And unfortunately, they're taught to protect. Or and then someone thinks that it's a family dog, and you saw what can happen.
Another way you have a dog. Sometimes if you're blind, they like
yes.
to help you.
Right, a whole other reason for
yeah,
a
like
dog.
A work like
a seeing eye dog.
Yeah. But like also you gotta like remember that like big dogs sometimes they're not feeling their self, and like some big dogs I heard that like big dogs if they're like outside and they're outside for like way too long, like longer than you usually like take a 5 minute walk, then there's like this thing and it gets into them, and, like, it makes them all, like, not themselves and stuff. And when someone goes to pet them, they're just... Or, like, when someone goes to, like, near the owner, they're just going to be like, no, you ain't going near my owner.
They're
like,
very protective.
Snap at
they're
them.
Very protective.
Yeah, they'll get, like, more protective than they
don't ever
are.
Watch the show When Good Pets Go Bad, or When Good Pets Go Bad 2 or 3.
But I love dogs!
I know, so I don't watch those
shows. Like, if I just go for a beat...
What is your favorite spirit animal?
Yay.
Can you give me an example of what a spirit animal is?
What about this?
They
what
do.
Is your
they,
favorite...
These guys... Yeah, we'll come back to...
What's your favorite movie?
My favorite movie, all-time favorite movie, now don't laugh, is Jumanji.
I love...
The first Jumanji.
First.
Ooh, I love...
First. Jumanji is a really good movie.
Yeah, you want to talk about spirit animals?
So spirit animals are basically animals that are spirits, and like their spirit goes out of the animal that just died, and they're like spirits, and they fly around and stuff. And like basically, when a pet and it, which when an animal is a spirit animal, mm-hmm. its ears get so big that it looks like all spirit animals, their ears get bigger and bigger until it looks like their ears are like popping off.
So
and like, yeah.
Let me, maybe I can pose the question to you then, because I've never thought of a spirit animal. What is your favorite spirit animal?
Oh, my favorite spirit animal is. Well, my most favorite spirit animal is. What are they called?
I don't know.
The things that start
with
a
B. A baboon?
Baby.
Black Panthers?
Yes.
Black Panthers.
Okay. What about you? What's your favorite spirit animal?
I never thought of a spirit animal, so... Yeah.
What about you? Do you have one?
My favorite spirit animal, like, if we're talking how she said it, is, like... I think that an eagle or, like, a phoenix. But if we're talking it in my way, it's called an alabrije. And when people make, like, the alabrije sculptures, it's not, like, a spirit animal. It's not like a spirit animal. It's more of, like, an animal that no one has ever seen before. And it's like wild and, like, with wings and different, like, rainbow colors.
What is your favorite place?
Favorite place?
Mm-hmm.
My favorite place. I love to go to Idaho. No, I'm not. Oh, it's a joke. Idaho, they're known for potatoes, right?
Yeah.
No, my favorite place is my family and I. Every spring break is in April, right?
Yep.
We go to Myrtle Beach.
Oh.
And I love going to Myrtle Beach. It's in South Carolina.
I was about to say Myrtle Beach. So there are sharks that murder you.
Listen, he's got to find clients somewhere, right?
North Carolina? Yeah. Yeah, no, we love going to Myrtle Beach.
I like to go to Hawaii.
Hawaii?
Yeah.
I
want to go to Puerto Rico.
Right?
Yes, that's such a good place, but the thing is, in Puerto Rico, it's really dangerous. Like, some people that live in Puerto Rico, they kind of, like, risk their lives because they really want to stay there, but there's also big snakes, and they're, like, longer than this classroom.
You mean, like, anacondas?
Yeah, I know.
Like that, but they're, like, longer than this classroom, and, like, they can actually bite your whole head off. And you have to, like, yeah, you gotta run away from them or, like get those things. Like, there's stuff in Puerto Rico that, like, hold the island, but, like, as long as you only pull one out, then you're fine. If you pull them out and you, like, poke the snakes with it,
yeah,
they kind of get scared because they feel like you're about to, like, hurt them or something. So, like, they're gonna go away, and there's giant hole.
Have you ever been to Cuba, Havana?
No, but I hear phenomenal things about it. Are you going?
It's very, very beautiful.
Is it? I hear phenomenal things about it. Maybe I have to try it. Try to go out there one day on a vacation. Let me know the next time you're going. Maybe we'll go with you.
Yeah, meet up.
Thank you for coming out while he's done.
Thank you for joining the Yates Radio program. We really appreciate that you're here and stuff, and about all the stuff you have helped us with and what you have did for the whole entire community. And we love that you came to speak with us in our classroom and in the Yates Radio program, and we really respect you a lot about your kindness and everything that you did for us.
Wow, thank you very much, and thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome.
I had a blast.
Congratulations.